Now, Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth, the very meditation of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So today we conclude our sermon series on the Beatitudes, and I'm a little sour. I'm a little sad about that. It's been quite a journey. Matthew 5, 3 to 12. And as we close it out with a blessing, we're closing it out with a blessing that I think if most of us were given a choice, we'd probably forego. Nevertheless, many folks around the world who live in a much different cultural climate than ours, they live in that kind of environment. So let's remember them, at least as we start to dig into the final three verses of the Beatitudes, starting with Matthew 5, verse 10. Matthew 5, 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Further, I don't know if you noticed this, but when we kind of close this out, did you notice that this is the only beatitude that Jesus actually personalizes? I'll get this right yet. He personalizes. Blessed are you, verse 11. Blessed are you. Wow. Still, you know, before we get into any of that detail, let's start here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Christians all around the world suffer because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith finds its greatest expression in the resurrection victory. In the empty tomb, the weak find power. In the resurrected Lord, the hopeless get hope. The dying unearth deliverance. The anxious discover confidence. And whether they are physically together or whether they are assembled over the great online gateway, right? When God's people blend their voices as one in this way, they begin this veritable chorus, an undeniable song of praise. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? This, by the way, is a question originating with the former speaker of the Lutheran Hour, Reverend Ken Klaus. And it's one that I just couldn't help but borrow today. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? And you know, I like that question because most Lutherans I know love to sing. And they love to sing the beloved hymns of the faith. For instance, okay, they love to sing some of the great hymns of the faith. The problem is, there seems to be many different ways to interpret that phrase, the beloved hymns of the faith. For instance, when certain folks will say this, they certainly would include in that list songs like In the Garden and The Little Brown Church in the Dale and I Surrender All. Excuse me, others, however, would be quick to respond by saying, no, I think that list is better defined by, Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. And we all believe in one true God. And a mighty fortress is our God. And yes, by the way, if you have to ask which one, get behind me, Satan, right? Yet we must readily admit that the Lord's people, when filled with joy, sing these songs of the faith so wonderfully. And no one sings them better than those that have actually suffered for the faith or are suffering right now for the Savior. Again, blessed are you, says Matthew 5:11. When people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? But come on, let's just be honest here, right? It's not just us Lutherans that sing. For you could have heard this kind of singing around the year AD 320. See, in the year 320, the Roman Emperor Licinius was persecuting Christians, and in Armenia, his 12th legion, nicknamed the Thundering Legion. Man, if you're going to be a part of a legion, right, that's the one to belong to. The Thundering Legion had 40 men who proclaimed Jesus as Lord. To force a renunciation of such a reality, those 40 were sentenced to spend the night naked upon a frozen lake. A warm house, warm food, and a hot bath were available to anybody who turned from the faith of Jesus Christ. Yet if you could have been there, you would have heard a song to Jesus. The 40 sang this, "O Lord, 40 wrestlers have come forth to fight for thee. Grant that 40 wrestlers may gain the victory." The song, however, as you might expect, grew softer and softer as the night went on, and even one of the 40 gave in. In spite of this desertion, though, the song continued. "O Lord, 39 wrestlers have come forth to fight for thee. Grant that 39 wrestlers may gain the victory." And wouldn't you know it, the Holy Spirit used this song to change a centurion's heart on guard over these men, while the cold slowly silenced the 39 song. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? Well, the date was September 11th. The place was Tower 1 of the World Trade Center, just above where one of the terrorist planes had hit. In the smoke-filled offices of Cantor Fitzgerald, a song was sung. It was sung by a guy named Al Braca. That was his name. Al was a corporate bond trader, but this day he was the Lord's singer. With death surely minutes away, Al called his family, but he didn't get through. Instead, he left a message with an MCI operator. Man, you remember when we used to do that? An MCI operator that took 1 month to get delivered. "Tell them that I love them," he said. Through hurried emails and cell phone contacts, the others on the floor tell the rest of the story. They spoke about how Al was praying with 50 of his co-workers, how he was sharing the love of Jesus, and how they too could be saved. Al's son Christopher later said of his dad, "The last thing my dad did involved the two things most important to him, God and family." Wow. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? Well, the time was Easter Sunday. It's a few years ago. Picture, if you will, a group of children laughing, talking as they come down to their church's sanctuary after eating together. The place is a little different than here. It's Sri Lanka. Instantly, many of them are killed by a sudden bomb blast, and their singing ceases. According to the website opendoorusa.org, in the last year, over 260 million Christians live in places where they experience high levels of persecution. 2,983 Christians were killed for their faith, 9,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked, 3,711 believers were detained, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned without trial. And yet those alive still sing. They sing to their Savior. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? Jesus says this is the reality of harassment. "Blessed are you when," Matthew 5:11. When people faithful to God have suffered for their faithfulness. And this is nothing new, by the way. Abel, the first martyr, was cut down by his jealous brother because God blessed Abel's faithful obedience over Cain's corner-cutting disobedience. David was hunted like an animal throughout the caves of Judah by King Saul because David was gracefully God's anointed. Daniel and his three friends were thrown into a fiery furnace. Why? Because they would not deny the true and living God, their very Lord. Governments, institutions, educators, philosophers, men and women, madmen and women, a myriad of other folks standing behind false religions and false hopes have all tried to silence the singing. Soldiers have held back food from hungry infants. Pastors have faced persecution from their own kinsmen. Bibles and songbooks have been confiscated and destroyed. But amazingly, the songs of the faith are still sung. Because these truths are not contained to books and leaflets. For the Word and the Spirit have already stamped that message onto their people's hearts. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? And I would guess that you have. Because some of you have been ridiculed by your family for following Jesus. Some of you have been abused and scorned by callous husbands or wives who have turned from the faith. Some have been shunned and abandoned by friends. Some have been demoted and passed over by employers because you would not betray Jesus. Some of you students are students who face the ideological barrage of opinions in opposition to Christ. And some of you in elementary, middle school, and high school settings has stood up for Christ in difficult situations because you value His approval more than anybody else's. And though your faith has been muffled or muted or pushed aside, you still find ways to sing to your Savior nonetheless. Listen. Listen to the neighborhoods, to the schools, to the town and the townships. Listen to the singing that's happening, even through the silence and the separation of stay-at-home orders and virus outbreaks. Listen, for though there is isolation and separation, the song still goes out. Have you ever heard the song Christians sing to their Savior? Well, what's the reason behind the harassment? Well, simple. Jesus says, people suffer because of me. It's because of Him. Now, as I say that, please notice this final beatitude does not say, blessed are those who are persecuted because they are objectionable, because they are wild-eyed fanatics, because they pursue some wildly erratic socio-political cause. As well, there is no end to the suffering that we can bring upon ourselves because of our own good intentions or our own carelessness or foolishness or stubbornness or our own sin. But this is not the reason for the harassment of which Jesus speaks. And what about the physical hardship that we might face in this life? I mean, disappointment, disease, danger, death. Isn't that all part and parcel of living in a broken and fallen world? Yes, but this too is not the reason for the harassment of which Jesus speaks. And what about the many who make absolutely no claim to be followers of Christ, and yet they give their lives for noble and worthy endeavors? People who have given their own lives to save those of others. Many here in our own city. And at times they serve it sacrificially. But this too is not the reason for the harassment of which Jesus speaks. Instead, He says, blessed are you when you are persecuted because of righteousness. And if you'll allow me to describe what He says, what He means here, I would probably put it into words like this. If you're inspired by Christ to choose chastity, then your life will be an offensive witness on those who want to pursue free sex and do it in their own way. If you embrace temperance, then your life will be a statement against those who make alcohol their be-all, end-all. If you pursue self-control, your life will indict excess eating. If you live simply and happily, you'll show the folly of luxury. If you walk humbly with your God, you'll expose the evil of pride and self-centeredness. If you're punctual and thorough in your dealings, you're going to lay open the inferiority of laziness and negligence. If you speak with compassion, you'll throw callousness into sharp relief. If you're spiritually minded, you're going to expose the worldly-mindedness of those around you. And if you sing to Jesus, there are going to be those people who are going to try to stop you. Also, please understand, none of those traits that I mentioned are self-acquired. Rather, these are the marks of the new life that God has birthed within us by grace and the working the working out of lives lived in the shadow of the cross. Most humbly, these are marks that distinguish those who live in the present blessing of God upon their lives. Those whose empty hands have now been filled. Those whose sinfulness has been wiped away, all because of the love and work of Christ alone. And so you may say, "Oh, Pastor, of all the Beatitudes, I'm not really sure I need this message. No one hassles me for living for Christ." Well, if we think about it, I guess you have to think, what does that say about my life? As well, there are many out there who say that action is worth 1,000 words. This is true in some cases, right? But remember, Jesus taught and spoke a lot. And so, yes, sometimes actions clearly carry the day. But words need to be spoken. Succinct words, spiritual words. Words spoken and sung to the Savior. D.L. Moody, one of my favorite quotes, "Our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." What are we waiting for? There's a song to be sung. Have you ever heard the songs Christians sing to their Savior? I know you have. So Jesus tells us that this is our privileged response to harassment. The response to harassment, it comes in two forms. First, just recognize the source of the harassment. Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." That person at work at root is not the problem. Your spouse isn't the problem. Those kids at school that make fun of you are not the problem. Satan, sin, and death. That's the problem. Then, rejoice over the harassment. Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What, really? Why should I rejoice when kids at school make fun of my Christian radio station or Christian songs on my player? Why should I rejoice when people at work label me as intolerant or that one of those bigoted Christians? Why should I rejoice when my spouse mocks me for going to church? Well, we don't rejoice in the pain. The goal of the Christian life is not persecution. The goal of Christian life is to be formed and shaped by the grace of Christ, to be like Him. And if we're like Christ, then sometimes we're going to get persecuted. And in many ways, like our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, would you pray for their deliverance, for our deliverance? But even more, we need to pray for courage. Pray that we have the courage through the Holy Spirit to sing the songs of praise, for them to sing their songs of praise as we sing ours. And who knows, maybe the song of praise of Christ will turn the hearts of captors and critics around us. Have you ever heard the song the Christians sing to their Savior all around the world? If you have, then let's join the chorus. Let's join this song of praise. Let those who live in fear that their one Bible might be confiscated actually be joined with those who have multiple Bibles on their shelves and now take the time to read them. Let those who sneak into Sunday services for fear, out of fear, be joined with those who can watch it in their PJs at home on multiple channels. And may our gifts and our voices and our lives and our songs then be mixed, all so that the world may know and believe Jesus is the Savior. Well, Lord, we've come forth to fight for Thee. Grant us, O Lord, by Your grace, that we gain the victory. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.